Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus of Doom. And, Lotus, we have another patron chat. This week, it's the end of the month. It's time to get together with our patrons and talk about Starfield, because it's an Elder Scrolls show.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
All right, so we're not going to get too much into this, but there are some interesting Starfield slash other Bethesda property, more than sort of just nods so far. So, hey, maybe they are in the same world. You know, that definitely went reasonable when we said,
okay,
Fallout and Elder Scrolls are in the same world. You know, maybe it's all one big connected universe and everybody's heads can explode.
Or more than one universe.
Yeah, or maybe they're just separate IPs. But
yeah. Or maybe there's a connection between them. I don't know. Anyway.
There's some interesting stuff on some of the side quests that I've found. Yeah. Rather intriguing so far. I assume you might know one of the ones involving a serpent.
Okay. We'll have to discuss this.
We won't spoil
later.
Anything, but yeah.
Yeah.
Just interesting.
Right. That is interesting. But we'll talk about that later on. But today on the episode, we have our patrons, and our patrons have decided that they want to talk about how Starfield's release, the things in Starfield, the way Bethesda is making games now, all of that will affect the next major Elder Scrolls game, which is the next one on the horizon. How is the technology? How's the storytelling? How is any of that and their Starfield experience is going to affect that? What are they looking for? What are they hoping for? All of that kind of stuff is open for conversation today. And we've got a bunch of our patrons joining us again. I'm going to read through all the names and you all do the best, make your best Starfield traveling with the grab drive sound that you can possibly make on the count of three after I name everybody. We've got Ombre and Mortem, Ben of Temeria, Rob the Princess, AK Spartan, and Falcon with the Box on joining us. Thank you for being here. Get ready to unmute. 3, 2, 1.
I don't know what that is.
Nice. You can just make one up.
Who is cold?
Like, burr.
I heard somebody go burr.
That was Ben.
He was cold.
It's cold in space.
I guess space is cold. Yeah, all right, fine. Whatever works.
Yeah. So this is a fun conversation. Who would like to kick us off? Who has some experience with Starfield and wants to say, like, hey, I think this is going to play into the next game release or whatever? Anybody want to start us off?
I actually sort of do, because it's something that I want to get into in Starfield, and I really am struggle bussing, which is a little weird. The building mechanics are much more involved in Starfield because you've got outposts and you have ships. There's two separate things now. And they've had a building structure, both, you know, in Elder Scrolls and Fallout prior to, and it kind of keeps building on itself from game to game. There was no way around that.
Yep,
I'm sorry.
Nailed it.
But I feel like in Starfield, it is a mess.
It is a mess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they explain straight up nothing.
It is a little obtuse.
The problem. It's really obtuse, and simple things I've found via revelations on like Twitter from people being like, holy crap, did you know you can do this? And it's like 5,000 likes of people like, I had no idea. And I'm like, this seems like not so much explore for yourself so much as poorly explained.
Yeah. Do you think it's one of those things where if they had put a whole bunch of tutorials in there, nobody would have watched them or gone through them
very
anyway.
Possibly, because if you over tutorialize, people tend to zone out, especially when it's just like word vomit on the screen. Like, here's 40 pages of tutorials. It's like, no, don't do that.
Right. But it's like, almost like they went more the like Elden Ring Dark Souls yes. route of just like, we're going to put stuff in there. The community's going to find it if they're interested.
Which normally I like, but I don't find a lot of this is very intuitive, which is, I think, maybe what the holdup is, where I feel like you got some direction in the other games, but it's almost like it felt that you should already have a basis from the other games, and they added new stuff and just figure that part out.
Right.
But on that note,
go ahead.
I really like the expanded scope because it seems like there's a lot of stuff you can do. So thoughts on building becoming more or less a feature going forward? Because
yeah, well, here, let me focus this in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want the conversation to be more about Elder Scrolls than Starfield. So
right.
I don't want this conversation to go into this is my experience with Starfield's building and all that. I would rather have, based on what they've included so far in the building for Starfield, where do you see that going, and what would you see like to be improved when it comes to something like Elder Scrolls? Are we looking at building entire settlements or cities, founding your own cities, placing buildings, more than just like building a castle, like in the new Castle game that came out that got shadow dropped, yeah, right?
Shadow dropped on early mobile access, which,
yeah,
by the way, it's full currently, so don't even try to get into it if you haven't already.
Yeah,
apparently, so there's no more spots.
That's a whole other thing, but I want to talk about like in Elder Scrolls 6, what do you see them bringing over and how would you like to see that improved? I think that's probably the best way to frame that. So who has thoughts on building? Ben?
I do. So it reminds me of if you play Elder Scrolls Blades.
Yes.
On mobile, you literally rebuild your village or your town. Take the in-depth of the Starfield build system, but put that in Elder Scrolls 6 to where you're physically building like a town.
Yeah.
Which matches a little more to the settlement system from 4, maybe a little aggressively like ramped down the way they did, because I know it frustrated people. But like, yeah, I like the idea of the town building thing, which kind of ties into the way they did outposts, it seems like, which I'm very, very early on in trying to design outposts in Starfield. Yeah.
It does seem like there's complications with the whole like building the spaceship, make sure certain modules connect to other modules. Whereas if you're building a town, it's more about placing a building or sticking a wall and making the wall go around this area and then placing furniture inside it, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't have to be as stick together module. Rob, you were raising your hand.
Yeah, I have some opinions on this and that. I don't want it to be a very large aspect of the game. I want this to just be like a very side thing that you can do if you want, because the Elder Scrolls like protagonists have never been like the king of something or anything. Like, you've always just been some dude. Like you're not a political figure. Like, you get the honorary thane, but that's, you know, just it's literally just honorary. It's nothing of a real meaning.
Taking over the Mage's College, being the head of the Mage's College, and then like theoretical, imagine a version of Skyrim where you take over the college, and then now that you are the leader of the college, you can expand the college or repair parts of the buildings and the island structure that it's standing on and all of that.
That I could get behind. I just don't like it when you're like, oh, I'm going to create a settlement and I'm going to be the leader of this new settlement. And if you want to pursue that, having it be an option for an Elder Scrolls character, because it's all about, you know, options, play how you want. I'm all for that, but I wouldn't want it to be a big aspect. But when you put that twist on it, now I'm like, yeah, that seems pretty cool. Like in the Thieves Guild in Skyrim, once you're done, you try to like restore it. And I could definitely get behind something like that.
Yeah,
that
like
sounds a lot
underground structures underneath Riften. And now you can expand out the scope of the Thieves Guild and hire on new thieves and all of that stuff and kind of manage like a almost like a dungeon keeper building out kind of thing.
Sure.
That could be cool. Ombre, did you want to chime in on this one?
Oh, I was going to say, I think it would make more sense than a village to be maybe something more akin to like a fort or something. I was trying to think where Elder Scrolls 6 was happening because I couldn't remember.
Well, it's probably still in High Rock as far as we know.
It's still in High Rock.
It seems that way.
Seems to be.
Hammerfell,
High Rock, somewhere between there. Somewhere in between. Yeah, something.
That area.
I'm hoping we get somewhere that is obviously somewhat in conflict, because maybe having like a fortress that you have to upgrade and defend just as like a little side thing, like you're defending either like the border or you're defending like, I don't know, just like a random area, just as like a radiant thing you can just kind of do off the side.
Dude. Can you imagine? Okay, so my first thought goes to, yeah, you got to hire or like bring people into your little fortress to guard it. And then like if, you know, bad guys attack, they all shoot them from the walls or whatever. But then I was like, wait a minute. What if you could live out like your necromancer fantasy and like put a bunch of skelly archers around and like,
I went a different route with it when you started talking about like fortresses. I was immediately thinking like, if it is in like the Hammerfell, like Dragonstar area, maybe we could be witnessing like Orsinium falling for the sixth time.
Oh, and dear God.
That's four orcs.
You could choose to be on the side taking down Orsinium or defending Orsinium. And that could be a cool thing where you like you try to build up the city before it falls or something.
We could just have a whole entire RTS, like an Elder Scrolls RTS game.
I mean, I'd buy it.
Falcon's on board.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds fun as hell.
You amass an army, awesome. Knock down some castle walls or build up and defend your castle. Hey, that's a fun idea. Falcon, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
If there's going to be like the outpost or the settlement building, I don't know, there needs to be a reason for it. Cause like I said, I have like 60, 70 plus hours into Starfield and it's pointless to have an outpost.
Yeah. Other than just getting some resources to then turn in for quests. Yeah. Like what else really are you
but
doing?
But you can get a lot of those resources just by adventuring.
Right.
If it's going to be there should be a reason for it.
Yeah, I have to wonder if we're only seeing part of a whole picture. Like, for example, they probably have 3 or 4 DLC planned out. Todd Howard went on an interview saying, oh, this game is absolutely designed so that we can focus on it and expand it over 5+ years. What if this is just the beginning of the outpost system? And there's more going on. Like, what if we're going to be able to build up like an entire, you know, like a selection of outposts, tie them with ships and transit to space stations and then trade from one place to another and like maybe make our own faction or something eventually. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's something more to it that I just don't know about yet or we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
Well, there was also that weird tie-in. This is like super back in the day, but in Morrowind, whichever great house you became favored with, that was what you got as a manor, like that you were allowed to construct. You could then pay to have it done. So it was like, oh, you got this Redoran fortress, or everybody always wanted it. It's like, oh, I got a Tilvani tower, and it's okay. I
big old mushroom.
Weird mushroom place type of thing. So it's interesting because that game had it faction related. And then they've always had like a little touch of this. I mean, even back in Daggerfall, but you just bought a place with a mortgage you probably didn't pay back to the bank in Daggerfall, because it's like, I'll buy this place and I'll just hit the high seas and never pay you. But like,
oh, dude, you're giving me so many ideas. Keep going. You give me so many ideas. Like you take out a mortgage and then you get hunted down after it's past due and the, like people just keep coming after you. Or go with me here. What if we're not constructing locations in Nirn? What if you get your own little pocket realm of Oblivion to lord over at some point in the quest line?
Now it's getting real weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that could open up all sorts of weird things. You fill it full of Daedra or whatever you like.
The other thing that there's also related to this, and I don't mean have this one topic monopolize the entirety of this so we can like move on. It was just like, I think the building aspect always has a lot of promise in these games. And with Starfield, the reason I specifically want to mention it, not that I don't feel like the features are there. I just feel like the intuitiveness of it felt like more of a step back, because it seemed much more, to kind of Rob's point, it seemed like it was there just because it needed to be there outside of the ship building. And the rest was just kind of like, yep, it's there just to kind of have it be there. So I sort of wonder if it's like a test bed for something more, because each game kind of does a little more than the previous one as Homestead with Skyrim was pretty simplistic. Here's your layout. But then we got settlements. Then we got the full building thing for a movable settlement that could be anywhere in 76. Now we get ships and outposts. It's like, well, what do we see next? Like,
well, what if we see the building of ships like on the Iliac Bay?
Right,
like Elder Scrolls.
What about boats?
Like actually making like craft and ships and
Assassin's Creed ship combat implemented into Elder Scrolls.
Right.
That was so fun. That
with customizable ships. You could put and because there's magic, like Assassin's Creed doesn't really have magic. It's a little bit of magic-y, but like what if you have, you could put cannons on your ship, but then what if you could also man it with a bunch of fire mages that are tossing fireballs at the other ships or hitting them with lightning and stuff?
Also, side note, Daggerfall Bank definitely has an equivalent of the Pinkertons for sure. That's
It is a thing. That's cool.
No, I'm just saying, it's not canon, but like they have to.
Right.
It's the Daggerfall Bank.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Without
a doubt. They have some adjacent equivalent of the Pinkertons for sure. That was commented earlier. I'm like, oh yeah, that's totally got to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's move on from the crafting building side of this. There are lots of advances in Starfield over previous things. There's the scope of it is fairly large. There's a lot more in specific locations that you can go to, but then also other locations that just get procedurally generated. So there's a little bit of both of that. There's changes in the dialogue are back to more like Oblivion in some ways. Do any of these things give you guys thoughts about where things may also go? Ombre?
I feel like obviously, the infinite generation might work for obviously, we're talking about sea combat. Maybe if they're randomly generating like islands off the sea, because we do know there are islands in that bay and some of them are quite small. They could be doing something similar to that. But otherwise, I couldn't really see a use of the infinite generation because as we've seen, every single other scrolls up until now has been very tailored, very detailed. It's if you're walking 30 seconds in a direction, you're running into something. And we're in Starfield, you might be like walking for like a minute or two, and you might not. And just from a game design perspective, I understand that's because it works off of cells and stuff. And so it needs that size to be able to do the generation with it being seamless. So it's, I can see where the technology has its limitations, but I can also see how it could work within Elder Scrolls, especially with the islands.
I hope most of the continental area you're in is actually handcrafted for sure. Mm-hmm. I just have to wonder if they're going to use that tech in like other places, like maybe like the ocean or an Oblivion realm. Like what if you end up in some mysterious Oblivion realm that is constantly changing and is never exactly the same thing? Something like that. Rob?
Tree layouts just while you're walking through forests or something, I guess.
So like Skyrim has procedural generation, not in this term of landscape, but in the like terms of like scenarios. You have those like as you're wandering around, you'll have like that wandering bar that walks up to you, or the guys who want to get drunk, or
the radiant quests they provide or whatever.
They'll just be a random encounter in front of you. And it would be interesting to see them develop that further in Elder Scrolls 6. And I think we've seen bits of that with Starfield from what I've been able to see. Mm-hmm. And it would be really cool to see like much more bigger and random based encounters by that. If you're going across the ocean, depending on like, do you encounter a sea monster? Do you encounter an enemy ship? Do you encounter a merchant ship?
A storm?
It'd be really cool to see like bigger random encounters like that. As far as procedurally generated landscapes, I guess I'm just too negative on that one because I don't like what older procedural generation came up with like Daggerfall. Like, yes, it was the biggest map in the game, but like, it was a whole lot of nothing for the most part.
Right. Yeah.
And from what we've seen on Starfield, it seems like, yes, there's all these like cool, unique planets, but most of them are just dead planets that you can walk around and see nothing for a good while and then eventually get something. But it's just a lot of nothing for the most part. So I'm not too excited about like procedurally generated landscapes unless they do something to surprise me with that. But encounters, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think most of us are probably on the same page with that. Falcon?
So, yeah, I agree. I can't see procedural generation, like, on the landscape being a thing. But, so when you go to a planet in Starfield, the area you get to explore is four times the size of Skyrim.
It's 4x4. It's 4x4 times the size of Skyrim. So if you land in a random location, you've got two.
There's four Skyrim
heights of Skyrim north of you, and two south of you, and two west of you, and two east of you.
Yeah, like, it's massive what you get.
Yeah.
I think that size is almost like a proof of concept of, yeah, the engine can handle having areas this large, this grand to explore. Because, yeah, if Elder Scrolls 6 is that Hammerfell High Rock area, that is a god-awfully massive area they'll need to deal with.
Yeah. Well, everything kind of gets like reduced. Yeah, you know, there is a little bit down of that.
Some, but
right.
If you have those two provinces, but the map is the same size or smaller than Skyrim, there will definitely be.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're going to have to go bigger. Like,
need to go bigger.
So. Right. Skyrim, if I recall correctly, Skyrim and Fallout 4 are roughly the same size area. Fallout 76 is four times the size of Fallout 4. So I would imagine we're at least on that range of size, looking at Elder Scrolls 6 without any extra, you know, generation. Like if they were to just manually design a big map, I think we're probably gonna be somewhere in that scale. That'd be my guess. Ben, did you want to say something?
Yeah. So, I mean, with the scope and how Starfield can procedurally generate and also have multiple planets as the same, like, content.
Mm-hmm.
What if we're not just Elder Scrolls 6 isn't just one specific region of Tamriel?
I mean,
what if they do?
Could.
I mean, they could do multiple, like High Rock, they could do Hammerfell, and then what's next to those two?
Well, I mean, you could go up to Daggerfall, you could go south into Cyrodiil. Like, there are lots of other locations they could do, but that raises the question of, like, can you actually make all of that procedurally generated, and does that even make sense unless something crazy is going on where, like, every time you go to a new zone, it's somehow different and messed up? That's why I was suggesting, like, Realms of Oblivion, or a specific Realm of Oblivion that is by nature messed up in a way where it's procedurally generated and different for everybody who's visits it, and every time you go back, nothing's in the same place. That seems to make more sense.
Right. But with just how the engine can actually handle multiple locations shows that the new game engine could not even just having
the scale could be generator, bigger,
but the scale could be bigger as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Because
thanks to the new engine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Spartan.
Yeah. Like, so as far as the proc gen stuff goes, I kind of think I would enjoy it the most on, like, a little bit smaller scale. Like, I don't think landscapes, but I think actually something that could be really cool would be, like, procedurally generated, like, bandit fortifications, because, like, I don't like dungeons are preset, like caves and stuff, like delves, like, should be preset and, like, detailed and all that. But, like, bandits should kind of feel organic, and like you should, I feel like you should be able to, like, find a bandit fortification, kill the bandits or handle the bandits, however, destroy the fortification. And then maybe you go back and a different set of people from that bandit group has set up somewhere else in that region. Like, they probably wouldn't just go to the same spot over and over. And I think that's one of the, you know, things, like, with Skyrim. Like, I have a lot of fun with Skyrim, but, like, when the bandits keep just going back to the exact same bridge or the exact same thing, or like, I just, it's a little unrealistic. And I feel like with, like, procedurally generated stuff, and I haven't played Starfield, but, like, with that technology and that stuff working, like, I wouldn't want to see landscapes or anything like that, but I feel like something like a fortification that's supposed to be, like, man-made would make sense, because it's going to look different every time.
Yeah. So you raised something that I find interesting about this. Like, what if you take over one of their fortifications, but you burn it down, right? But then the procedural generation isn't the landscape. It's the we were talking about making buildings and building a town. What if there's procedurally generated forts that are AI generated by the engine? And the next time you're in that area, maybe there's a fort that's just a little bit more north and some new bandits moved in and generated a place to live with walls that make sense and a keep that makes sense. But it's a completely different design of anything you've ever seen because it was procedurally generated. That could totally be a thing.
Yes. So I'd like that kind of like idea where, you know, you can get some variety in the things that might need to be in a specific location, but you get variety in the things that are there. Because again, not to always bring it back to like this series has done a lot because it's been around for a long time. They already did the procedurally generated landscapes with both Arena and Daggerfall.
Yeah.
And those games have a lot of really cool features. They give a great foundation. Daggerfall was way ahead of its time. And to travel in Daggerfall, you fast travel everywhere because there is literally jack all to do.
Right, right.
In the procedural generated anything. You just meander through fields of nothingness. Maybe you find a randomly generated cave. But even then, like... And the problem is things are so massive in Daggerfall that meandering like that, you never get anywhere that matters. So in the end, you just fast travel. So like...
Yeah, so like a balance between the things that are procedurally generated are on a smaller scope, but the landscape and the general like area is all handcrafted.
Right.
But like running into random encounters is kind of a procedural generation kind of thing. But what if there was even more variety in that? Like, what if a group of, you know, like in Skyrim, you come across like, you know, the guards, you know, marching slaves across the land, right? And it's always the same amount of guards and the same amount of prisoners being marched around. But what if those numbers changed? What if it was like sometimes it's a big caravan, sometimes it's a small group? What if that variety, the fortress idea, where you have the scope and the exact placement and the design of the fortress and which kinds of bandits or bad guys or whatever are in that spot, is again procedurally generated within a very specific scope of part of the handcrafted map that says procedural generated stuff goes right here. The landscape's the same, but these elements specifically can be randomized.
Which, to bring it to another series, not the newest one, but Diablo 2 and 3 kind of did that. You would have a set structure for the, like, you are in the forest, you are in the desert,
right?
Whatever.
And the map's basically the same.
But it would tile out what you were doing, and it needed to have these bullet point things be there so you could actually progress the game.
Right.
But every time you would play through it, it would be a little different.
Right.
Very close, but like a little different. So like maybe something like that would be interesting because it's like you get the idea and it's like, yes, somewhere around here, you're going to get the thing.
Right, right. So it's basically the same experience, but the experience is still customized on a smaller scope, a very more specific kind of level. I think that would be really cool. But you know, we're getting to the middle of the show. We got to go thank our patrons. Did you have another point you wanted to make?
Well, the only thing I wanted to just say on that, to close is because I really like the idea of that because it gives you uniqueness to your playthrough. So it kind of gives some variety. The only problem is sometimes I feel like when things just get too focused on scope, you kind of lose track of the fact that you need things to do in these games. And that's just it. The crafted environments that we're talking about, it gives you something to always find. Where Starfield, you can spend hours and literally do nothing because nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely a fine line to walk, I feel.
Right. And I think that makes more sense for Starfield being like in space, and most of the places you're going to land aren't going to have a whole lot going on there yet. Right. You know, like it's just like most of the moons and planets in any solar system are going to be kind of barren. There's not a whole lot there, right? But for Elder Scrolls, it should be different. Well, be thinking about some other things about what you think might carry over or how this is going to affect Elder Scrolls 6 in the future. We got to go thank our patrons, so we'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out.
Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, it's time to thank and welcome our newest patrons. We've got a few who have signed up in the last week. Alyssa N, Michelle RJ, Thomas G, Killian M, and Sarah M. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for signing up and supporting the show. And big shout out to all 137 of our current patrons. Good awesome. Lord. Holy moly. Thank you for being here. Also, thank you to you all for joining us for the patron chat. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Kira C and Sheogorath Sweet Roll. So, wow. So much support. You guys make this show possible. And Lotus and I really do appreciate it. So thank you.
Thanks
for being
everybody.
Here. Yeah. And Lotus, we got a new review this week. This one comes from Sam Smith Dean Wessend, the man all with right. four names, it seems.
I'll allow it.
You never know if these are made up or if these are actually people's names, you know? Like, so I'm like, okay.
That's a Supernatural reference and a gun reference.
Is it? It seems like it, but maybe it's a real name.
Smith and Wesson.
Right. Yeah.
I got the last part, but all right. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm never really sure. But
Maybe
it's a real name. I don't know. But thank you, Sam, for writing. Favorite podcast. Listen to this every day at work. The only problem is I've almost finished all the episodes. LOL. Keep up the good work. And also shout out to my friend, Braden Spicer, who I got addicted to the show. Hi, Braden. And Sam, thank you for...
We always say that you sharing us with your friends is the most effective way for us to find people that might enjoy the show.
So. Yes. And so
super appreciate.
Thank you for sharing the show. You get a cookie, and if you're watching the actual stream, I now have a cookie.
Are you literally
next to my head?
A cookie.
There you go. There's your cookie. So thank you, everybody. If you'd like to leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. You can also rate the show on Spotify. That's also very helpful. Share it with your friends. Rate it on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And play Skyrim with your mom. Any of that stuff. Yeah. Awesome.
Cookies not guaranteed.
Oh, Ombre gave you a cookie also. You get two cookies. All right. Well, let's move on with the rest of the conversation. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so let's shift focus from crafting and the environments to maybe some of the quests or the dialogue or the characters. Is there anything that Starfield's doing differently or has improved on that you think they should bring over? Or made different that you feel like actually really works well? Any thoughts on any of this stuff? Falcon, do you want to chime in? I know that you kind of blipped in and out. I don't know if Falcon can hear me. Anybody else want to chime in on this one? Spartan?
Yeah, so again, I haven't played Starfield, but just I was thinking about with the quests and the procedurally generated stuff, and something that actually I played Remnant 2 earlier this summer, and something that Remnant 2 did was the first like three areas you go are always the same three areas, but the order can change and who you encounter there can change in terms of like NPCs and stuff like that. And I think especially with like Daedric Realms and stuff, or like Planes of Oblivion, like you could easily have an instance where like it's maybe not procedurally generated to the fullest extent, like maybe there's just a couple different preset options, but where like maybe you're going to this, you know, a Plane of Oblivion, and for one player there's a certain group of NPCs and a certain storyline there, but for another player it's an entirely different thing, because that's exactly what Remnant 2 did. And I think that would be really cool in, you know, in The Elder Scrolls 6, where, you know, it's not just the places that you're finding that are different, but like every player has the chance to experience different stories. And then when you're replaying, you could potentially get one of the other stories. And I just think that would be really cool.
So are you thinking like little things that happen? Like the first time you walk into a village, there's like one of three options for like who's going to be where and what people are going to be talking about and that kind of thing. Or are you thinking more like you engage in a major quest line for, say, a faction, and it plays out a little bit differently each time?
I mean, I think you could do both. I hadn't really put a ton of thought into either, like, but I mean, like, I don't think there would be anything wrong with doing both. I think the larger scale quest line would be cool, especially because you could have larger influencing events. So like maybe your character plays a more critical role in what is shifting the outcome that you get, whereas like the smaller scale, it's just, you know, maybe it's just a difference of NPC. So I think maybe having that agency would be cool in the larger scale stuff. But I hadn't really thought about that, but I really think you could do both.
Yeah, I could see that. Ombre?
You could tell us doing over there.
Yeah.
So first off, I swear to God, if we have to do an Elder Scrolls 6, what pretty much amounts to, I think it was like a 40-minute intro in which you cannot get out of the intro. It like hard gates you. And like, think about like Elder Scrolls 5. It's like you have to go through hell again, and then that's it. And then you can go, you know, like start whatever you want. Right. If we have to do some 40-minute thing, I'm going to lose my mind. And the other thing that Starfield had in there that did perturb me a little bit, that I really hope Elder Scrolls 6 does not do, is where they have certain factions that you can join have pretty much, not necessarily like prerequisites, but like you have to go into another faction in order to get into another faction. And it's like, yeah, you might not even know that unless if you look up the wiki or something. It's like,
right,
man, if I want to go be like a pirate and join the pirates, why can't I just, you know, contact one of the pirates and join them, like, and be like, hey, yeah, I want to help you guys. It's
right.
Yeah. It's just something that I hope is not utilized.
Yeah, that makes sense. To your first point, I think every, because these games really focus on this idea of you are playing your own story in your own world how you want. So it makes sense the first time to have it gated through the intro and be like, okay, here's everything that you need to know. This is setting the story. This is setting the controls. This is all of that stuff, the tutorial section. But then automatically from the beginning, there should be a, if you start a second character, if you start a second playthrough, it just like those mods, it just, you can skip the intro, you can make your character, and you can just go into the world. And you just go from there. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, because like we all know that we all have that one save that's 2 seconds before you choose your character, or 2 seconds before, yep, you walk out of the vault, because it gives you that one last chance to change your appearance, change your stats. If you have that one save, you don't have to deal with any of it. You're just like, skip.
Right. So why not give an option when you hit create a new playthrough? Would you like to go through the beginning again, yeah, or would you like to start a character creation?
It's like, no,
character creation,
I'm the
please.
Opposite, yeah, it's like, there.
Really?
I love like sitting in that wagon going through Helgen. It's like, it's a good like 5 or 10 minute intro as well. It's not a short intro. You're sitting on that wagon for a while.
Oh yeah.
And I love just like every time I make a new character, I want to sit in that wagon again and just think about my character experiencing this for the first time. I like that role play aspect of it. So I'll do that over and over and over. I it took me years to download that Start Another Life mod where you can get the other starts.
Right.
And that was just because I was like, well, I still want to sit through an intro, but I want it to be a slightly different intro now.
Yeah.
I love doing that every single time. So I don't know. I will be fine if they implement it, because it doesn't hurt me, but I'm totally fine if they don't.
Yeah, gotcha. Falcon.
So I really do hate those guided intros. I don't think they're fun at all. Helgen and the sewers in Oblivion, I think, are really bad. Fallout 4 is even worse. I love the intro to like Morrowind and Fallout New Vegas, where it's like, hey, this is who you are.
Get off
the
boat,
you idiot.
Right. Yeah, go.
Yeah. That's how I want the intro to be. I don't want to know anything about myself besides I'm a prisoner or I'm a courier. There's nothing more I need.
Yeah. I wonder if they could do it in a way where they start you off that quickly and they automatically pin to your quest log, this is where you go in order to actually like get the main quest started. And so if you want to go through the first parts of the main quest, go over here. But otherwise, do what you want.
Like New Vegas has the optional tutorial. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how just Bethesda should do. And the tutorial is optional from the beginning. You don't have to go talk to Sunny Smiles. That's just how Bethesda should do it, I think.
Yeah. Aubrey, did you want to add more?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little more. So to touch on Rob's point, like that is why we want to make it an option. Just so that if you do want to do the role play, you can still do it. But then for everyone else, it's like who's done it like 100 times and doesn't want to see the end, they can. But another point that I
added in.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anyone. But the other point was, I remember both of you mentioned the Star Noah Life mod. I know there are other RPG type games that have. You know, I noticed this in Starfield. I actually started multiple characters because when I saw, you know, the things like things with like, oh, you know, like you can like do different things with characters, like you're a Free Star Collective citizen or like this or that. I feel like they really missed out on an opportunity to have different start points you could have started out at. Because if you were like from the Free Star, you could have started off in like maybe like, they could have like three different systems that like you start in and like each one's in different like part of the colonies. And it's like, you could have been somewhere else. You could have been, you could have started off as part of the pirates. It's like,
that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. It requires a lot more work.
I think that's really cool,
but it is a cool idea.
It would be a lot more writing.
A lot more writing and like a lot more, but I feel like that would just be a nice little quality. Like we're probably going to be seeing a mod for
it
in the next
moderns
few months.
Do it for free. Bethesda can do it for a paid game.
Yeah. Well, it takes 45 years to make these games.
Yeah, so. It all depends on the scope.
One of those 45.
Right. It depends on the scope of like,
now,
is it valuable enough to add in as opposed to other things?
It's an interesting idea to really make your character feel unique, though, from that perspective. And without leaving this topic, one thing that, again, this will be spoiler free because I have not actually done this, so I couldn't spoil it if I wanted to. But tying into the story idea, these games kind of go on forever, but Starfield has a New Game Plus. What are people's thoughts on having New Game Plus as something part of the series for games? Or do you like it to just let you roam forever?
Well, the New Game Plus plays into the story of Starfield.
I've done the New Game Plus.
Let's not spoil it for everybody.
I wish I did not.
Yeah. So
that's all I'll say.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, keep it nebulous. Like,
basically what happens is
it doesn't make sense.
Well,
in Bethesda games is what I'll say. For the story, it does. But for what Bethesda makes, it seems odd.
I could go either way. I think it's one of those things that gives you another option for how you might want to play through it as opposed to just continuing the same character. So I think there can be some value there. You would have it makes sense in Starfield because it plays into the story. Basically, you get to a point in the game where you can get some things that you otherwise don't get, but you also go back and can replay through parts of the game again due to a big story reason. That's all I'm going to say about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you could work in a Daedric Prince reason for, like, you know, wiping your memory and setting you back in time or something like that, right? Like, you could come up with some in-game reason for that for Elder Scrolls.
You didn't put the scroll down and scatter
it. Sheogorath wants to mess with you.
Right. Or Akatosh needs you to go back in time again in order to do something differently or whatever, right? Like, you could come up with a reason for it.
So, another game that in Diablo 2, when you beat Diablo, you could choose to restart the game at a much higher difficulty and still have your loot at the end. Mm-hmm. And so is it kind of like that, but within the plot?
Kind of. You don't have to change the difficulty. There's a plot reason for doing it. And then you can go through things and make different decisions. But
like, yeah. it's the big thing there is it's not the end of the game. You're like, you're still in the story at this point, or you have ended the game and you can start over.
It's like you're branching into a different variation of the story. We'll just say.
Okay.
That.
Interesting. I'm not trying to get spoilers. I'm sorry.
I'm purposely being vague.
It's hard to clarify without spoiling it because I only know some of it is, and I'm like, it is, man, I don't want to know more, but I do.
Anything on it.
Because
the concept sounds fun.
Story thing.
Yeah. And I could see that for Elder Scrolls as long as it makes sense with the story, right? Because it just gives you another option. You don't have to do it, but you could if you want.
I mean, they have a floating thing called a dragon break. So, I mean, they can kind of.
Right. Yeah. Like, what if everything's in a dragon break? And then that creates a loop where you're in New Game Plus and you get to go relive some of the events but act them out differently or something, right?
Elder Scrolls needs a roguelike.
I've got some other stuff I want to throw out there before we get too close to the end of the episode, because we're getting close to the end here. There are a few things in Starfield that I hope don't carry over. One of which is as the games have progressed, there are more and more NPCs that just become unkillable because they're necessary for story reasons.
Yes.
Right. There's a situation in one of the quest lines where one of the NPCs that you have to deal with is a complete douchebag. And I ended up doing something. He got real mad. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to kill this guy because I just want to see if I can. And of course, you can't. But I would love for that to be a possibility. Like, why make a character that I hate so much that I'm willing for my character normally doesn't just off people to want to kill him, and then yet that's not an option, and now everybody in the faction who he was trying to screw over now attacks me, right? Because like, he's supposed to be not in with the faction anymore. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I want variation for those kinds of things. Like, clearly they'll know that people are going to pick a firm position on a character like that and might want to kill them. Write it in a way where that can be one of the options. Now, I haven't finished that quest line, and maybe he becomes a very crucial character later on, and there's a reason why that can't happen, but I'm pretty sure that there could be an alternate path where he doesn't survive.
Murder is bad.
But in this case,
you're not supposed to just murder people if you don't like them.
I want to just murder people.
Counterpoint.
I love the Morrowind approach.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You messed up.
I would rather have that in this situation. You're done. Now, maybe you can find that to like main storyline characters. There's certain ones that can't be murdered. But outside of that, it's just free game. Like,
let me kill everyone in the Cloud District.
Right. Or in Fallout 3. Right. In Fallout 3, you can blow up Megaton, right? Like, and it completely changes the game and it cuts you off from certain quest lines. Let us do that still. I know that some people are going to get frustrated by that, but that's why you have multiple save games and you go back and reload it and play it again. Or maybe that's why there's a New Game Plus and you choose to make the decision different the next time.
I also like the fact that, like, with Morrowind, it told you done effed up.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
It's just like, right. Broke the prophecy.
I would rather that.
Everything's ruined.
Right.
Just let me know, because then you immediately know, like, do I double down on this or not?
Right. A little notification pops up and says, this decision has cut you off from certain story elements. Would you like to remake that decision? And then it reloads it or something. Like, that's all you need to do, but it'll give me that much freedom. The other thing I really want, and I'm just trying to get these in here before we have to wrap up. The other thing I really want is, and I understand why they did this for Starfield. In Starfield, you go to different planets have different times like there's universal time, which is 24 hours, but on some planets that's like a 60-hour day, or that's like a 7-hour day, right? Times are weird in different places. So they took out the whole certain people go through, like everybody goes through their own like daily routine. They get up,
radiant AI.
They go to the, yeah, that stuff is basically non-existent in Starfield.
Pretty much.
Right. And that makes sense because that would have been way too complex with like 60-hour schedules and 7-hour schedules and all of that. It would have been super weird. It probably had problems when they tried to implement it or whatever.
But that poor Jemsen girl working at the marketplace never sleeps.
Right. Never sleeps. And but that's also convenient because you're not on a specific schedule. You're just zipping over here to this planet and you want to do this thing over here. You don't want to wait for them to get back to the store in order to sell you a thing. I get it. But I hope that's not the case for the next Elder Scrolls game. I hope I go into town, it's midnight, I shouldn't expect somebody to be at the store. They're in their bed. And that means I can sneak into their store and steal stuff because they're not there. You know, like,
I don't think important. Elder Scrolls could do that if they wanted to, because they've kind of set it up where...
I mean, they could.
You expect that. They could.
They could. People would be upset. I feel like
the expectation is there.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's 8:30. I can't sell anything now.
Yeah.
Going back to our midnight at Denny's conversation at the beginning of the show.
Right. Like if I go to Denny's at midnight in Elder Scrolls, I want the weird people who I normally don't see during the day to be there in the middle of the night.
But like based on character generation, couldn't they just generate a different person to be at the front of the store? I mean, it's a super trivial cosmetic thing, but it's like, okay, yeah, the other person's in bed because it's 2 a.m.
Yeah, you but
the D squad yeah, here.
Like, to be oh, able Samantha's to go to that person's bed,
so
house.
James is working.
Correct. So then it's like you still have the option to use the thing, but it right. defies the idea of like, you know, this person has been working yeah. for 4,000 days straight and has yet to
close their eyes. Hasn't discovered the night
on
shift
the verge.
Yeah, it's part of the magic of the game to be like, oh, the shopkeeper's in their bed at their home. This is the home they live in. Oh, this feels like a real place, right? Like there's something about that.
And another but thing with reverse. The NPCs with Starfield going to ES6, you can make the towns bigger and feel more immersive.
Yeah, I think
like they could be fuller, just like how New Atlantis is.
Right. It would still have to be sectioned.
Sure it doesn't.
I think I've thought about this a lot. I think we would end up with something that feels more like the Imperial City of Oblivion, where you've got the different sections, because it doesn't seem like they can load in more assets without the loading zones between them, because like New Atlantis has multiple loading zones, right?
That and New Atlantis also brings down your frame rate like crazy.
Right, right.
But it's too much.
That's fine. That's okay.
I wanted to walk back.
Kills my PC. When you're fire.
When you were talking about wanting to be able to just kill NPCs like you could in Morrowind, I don't think we'll ever get to that point because it was a lot more controlled back then. And now with how they program games, if you let that happen, not only does it cut off things in the game, but it will just start causing a lot of unexpected bugs. They can't plan for each and every single one of those.
Yeah.
And so the way to get around it is just make it essential. And it's to find a solution where you can kill them and it doesn't create a bunch of bugs. I don't think we're there yet. And maybe we will be by the time we get Elder Scrolls 6. And yeah. It'd be kind of cool if it let us have the freedom to kill whoever we want to kill despite the consequences. But I just don't think we're there yet.
There's a stopgap in the middle. It's not the kill anybody you want, and it's not the what we have now. It's the if you play through this specific quest line and this person seems like a douchebag, then write a version of the story where if I shoot him, the story goes in a different direction.
So right? Every Nazim needs to have a backup plot.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Douchebag but, is like kind of subjective.
It is. It is subjective. You're right. It is subjective. It is. But like,
I think Vivek is cool.
Yeah, I still
and you're wrong for it.
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah. Right. But not maybe wrong.
He's awesome.
Maybe there's just more variation in that. And maybe that's what I'm asking for is variation in the way the story actually plays out, right? Cuz right now it seems very black or white. If I do something that upsets this faction, they all get mad at me and they attack me, and I either give up on that quest line or I reload and then go through the rest of the story. I like it's say, one or the other.
So essentially you're asking Bethesda to do more branching plot lines for specific quest lines.
For specific, yeah, and I don't want for everything. And this could obviously this could multiply very quickly. I'm not saying across the board for everything. I'm saying for very specific quest lines, or maybe just the major ones. Give me slightly more branches and options for where things go based on killing somebody, based on dialogue, based off whatever. Like,
not to bring in my new favorite game, Baldur's Gate 3 or anything, but they've
done a really good job at
that specific thing.
Right. That's what I want.
If you kill Zevlor before he gives you the quest, they will just shove in a new NPC that says, hey, I'm part of the refugees I was tailing behind. I wasn't in the camp when you first got here, but I'm here now, and I'm taking up command because Zevlor's dead, apparently. And right. they have
Wait, that
a,
happens?
Yes, they yeah. have a,
awesome.
A backup plan for killing literally any NPC practically. There's a handful it's of so exceptions, good. And sometimes the backup plan is you just can't do that story anymore, but they plan for you to not be able to do that story, and they have... Every single like person that you can kill has a consequence tied to it, and they have a backup NPC that will maybe take their place or a new storyline that might come up for it because of what you did.
That
and
creates replayability.
Next time,
like that is huge because it creates replayability and makes those games even more complex and interesting. I would rather sacrifice stuff like being able to ride around on a boat in the Iliac Bay for more dynamic ways that quests can play out.
Now. They do, the characters get less interesting the more, like, there's like three different layers. If you kill Zevlor's replacement, then there's another replacement.
Keep killing all the replacements.
One, he keeps going?
It goes like three or four levels for sure. Not every character has that, but some of them, they have like several layers. But the characters get less interesting because, like, oh, we didn't actually expect you to go here. So we're going to make this as uninteresting as possible so you don't try to go further because we don't want you going this way.
I'm the courier. I'm the fourth courier who's trying to approach you this week. Just off to half of
but
our
they
staff.
Have contingencies for everything.
I mean, that's literally
they
what
don't speak.
They just literally what a DM and back would away. Do.
Right. You just keep killing Ulfric's replacements over yeah. and over.
I mean, shout out to
again.
Proxy Gate Tactician on YouTube. He was the one who found this out. By the way, he went and killed like every quest giver to find out what the contingency the NPC was for all of these.
That's
it was
amazing.
Super fun to watch.
That's amazing. Well, okay, so that's where I'm going to end my rant, and we've got to wrap this up because it's been an hour. But thank you all for joining me. If you have any other thoughts, we can continue chatting on the Discord or whatever. And I would love to hear other people's thoughts if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, what about this? What about that?
Yeah,
or I hate this idea.
Discussion,
I love this idea. And you know, we can always talk about the next Elder Scrolls game and what we do right. or don't want. Right? Like this conversation is going to come back up probably in the next 4 or 5 years before it comes out. So that'll definitely be a thing. But thank you for joining me. Let's go back through
based
and
on the leaks, we might get it soon.
Maybe. No, that was, I mean, that was a game plan from pre-pandemic.
Yeah,
like
that's old.
Yeah, so. It's not accurate at all anymore. But no. I'm going to go back through. Let's, if you've got something you want to shout out, something you want to share with the internet or whatever, or just if you want to say thanks for being here, feel free. Let's start with Ombre. Ombre Mortem, thanks for being
here. I was the first one here, I guess. I've been streaming a little bit more. If you guys want to watch me, I stream, I try to stream every day. I won't be streaming this weekend. I'm doing some stuff, but Monday I'll be streaming again. I'll also be streaming tomorrow, stuff like that. But anyways, that's all. I'm just streaming a bunch.
Nice. Awesome. Well, good luck with the streams. Thanks for joining us. Ben of Temeria, I know you've got a few shows now.
Yes. Yeah, I do. So I am the host of Holocron Histories, Star Wars Canon versus Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and now I am a perma host on the Witcher Lorecast with Toasty.
Yeah, congratulations. I stepped down in order to focus more on the Starfield Lorecast, and so Ben has stepped up, and hopefully that goes really well for you guys. That's
Ben
exciting.
Ben's becoming the new Tom.
Yeah, you're the new Tom, Ben. I will give you my...
Ben's been working on that for a while.
My funny shirts. I don't know what else I have to hand over. Well, thanks, Ben, for being here. Rob?
Shout out to the Sky Oblivion Project. Because I doubt we're going to get the official Oblivion remake, but we're still going to get the fan-made one. So, woohoo. ESO, I'm the... PCNA, those are letters I couldn't get out of my mouth. PCNA guild officer there, me and Jillian running things. She's doing most of it right now because I'm playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3. Could go ahead and join the guild, or if you're already in there, shoot me a message if you ever want a game. I'd love to play ESO with you. And I'm also just playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3. Also, in like 2 weeks, I'm going to get the local Renaissance Fair here in Vegas. So I'm excited for that. And I was a part of the cast for the Ragnarok show that we did last year. And now I've gotten recast into some monster role for King Arthur. Don't know what I'm doing yet. So it'll be fun to find out what I'm going to be playing because I don't know.
Nice. But
yeah. Excited to get drunk and have a merry time at the Renaissance Fair.
Sweet. Awesome. All right, AK Spartan.
Yeah, I don't really have anything particular from. I've also been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3, actually, occasionally with Rob. so that's been fun. I mentioned it earlier. I think I have 7 characters now, but one of them I accidentally got locked in like a permadeath thing that I'm not going to explain because I don't want to spoil anything. But basically, I can't reload the save without dying, so that character's done.
Nice.
But no, that's been fun. I've been working a lot. I know. So I mentioned it last night. I've been thinking about last month too. But last night on the Fallout Lorecast at the end, I had mentioned I'm probably thinking about starting streaming soon. I think Tuesdays are going to be like the main day I can do that for like a nice chunk of time. And I'm probably thinking Elden Ring because I have the platinum for it and I have a lot of hours in that game. So I think I you know, starting something there, I could have a lot of fun with that.
Doing like weird build, weird build playthroughs and stuff.
Just kind of whatever. I feel like I know that game pretty well. So like I haven't really streamed or anything yet. I just got my setup earlier this year and started doing this stuff. So
all punching build, only punching.
Maybe I was, you know, I usually play like a faith build, different incantations and such. So I just don't want to do that because I feel like I know how to do that like a little too well, and I kind of want to mix it up a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm cooking up. I think at this point, probably by next month, I'll either have started it or be like right on the edge, because I'm trying to see. I have one buddy that might want to jump on it with me, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on there. But that's pretty much what I'm doing, and other than that, I'm just working a lot. I know I mentioned it yesterday too. I started a new job on Labor Day. I'm on tomorrow is day 25 of 25 days straight since I started. And then Saturday is my birthday, and that's my first day off. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, happy birthday. That's going to be like,
just say, happy birthday. Birthday. Finally getting a day of rest.
It's been a lot, but I'm done at 5 most days. So I haven't like lost a ton of sleep. I'm actually on a decent schedule, but it's been a lot.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, good luck with all that. Thanks for making time to be here. And then Falcon with the box on. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I don't do anything. I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 just by myself because I don't like playing with people.
I don't like people, humans.
I don't like people, but I received what is a weird maybe compliment.
Okay.
So I was checking out at Zoomies, that skate shop. And the cashier said to me, "Hey, no offense or anything, but has anyone ever told you you look like Jonah Hill? Not the fat one, but like Wolf of Wall Street, maybe."
Oh.
I was okay. I'm real thrown off by the no offense. But yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if it was a compliment or an insult. I don't know what he meant by that, but I don't like whatever he said.
Since you just showed your face at the beginning of the stream, I will say you kind of do, but like definitely after the lost weight thing, because you're not a big guy, it seems, but you do kind of have like some Jonah Hill like features. I think it's the glasses.
Years ago,
I hope it don't look like big Jonah Hill. I messed up then.
Well, that's a weird story. Years ago, I ran into a friend of a friend and opened up my mouth and was like, "Wow, you look a lot like Quentin Tarantino." And then I realized that's not a compliment.
Not at all.
And they looked at me like, "Why do people keep saying that?
You look like you'd have a really weird foot fetish." That's...
I was like, "Oh no."
Oh yeah. You suck toes and say the N-word in every movie.
Oh. Oh, all right. Well, Falcon, thank you for being here. Yep. And everybody, thank you for joining us.
Incredible.
Lotus, you have anything you want to share before we go?
Not really. If you're interested in the other show I do, Unofficial Elder Scrolls Pages presents Tales of Tamriel. It's the other show we do. Hopefully we can record this weekend. Scheduling is hard, but we're going to try to squeeze it in. Yeah, I can't. At this point,
since everybody, much like the show, listens to the recorded version, we always appreciate when you swing by for the live version. This show, it's pretty easy to keep track of. Tales of Tamriel, it is not easy to keep track of because we work with a lot of different time zones and we record whenever we can.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough for you guys.
Yeah.
And you should be from different places sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So, look for a new episode sometime next week because it'll be there.
Awesome. Awesome. Hopefully that works out for you, Lotus. And if you want to find my stuff, robotsradio.net for, of course, this show, Fallout Lorecast, the Starfield Lorecast, Lord of the Rings Lorecast, Mass Effect Lorecast, a bunch of other stuff from other hosts like Ben and a bunch of other people. So if you're looking for podcasts, we got them. Thank you for being here, everybody. Stay safe out there in that crazy generated universe. Maybe we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.